Several times I've tried to give the coordinates that Zechariah pointed out in the 12th planet of where this planet Nibiru may be on its 3,600-year elliptical orbit,
right.
But they can't seem to find it.
Well, one factor is that it comes in from the southern hemisphere, and it tends to be that most observatories or telescopes are actually in the northern hemisphere. Another thing is there are verified sightings in some of the ancient tablets in about 555 BC, where where the story that Zechariah tells is that they witnessed this planet being in a certain constellation. So based on an observation of 555 BC or so, Zechariah sort of predicted where it was going to go and where it was. But I think the accuracy got better after the 12th planet was written. And he also had worked with a professor, Harrington, an observatory who was later on killed, and that professor, that astronomer, was trying to research the planet and thought that he had located it. But obviously his work was discontinued when he passed away.
Interesting fast blast gentleman from Scott in Raleigh, North Carolina, who says the Abydos hieroglyphs in Egypt are on what is called the Wall of Time. He thinks that these hieroglyphs are scenes and predictions of the future, not of things that were there at the time. And that's interesting.
Well, that's a theory.
One comment I'd say on that is that, you know, in that same area, we have a crypt in Dendera that also shows reliefs what some have questioned to be, you know, light bulbs. And, you know, modern archaeologists say, well, this is just a depiction of an eggplant.
Right.
But, you know, I recently did an on-camera, you know, experiment with the Discovery Channel where I recreated the Baghdad Battery, which in the same time of the Egyptian culture having what they've inscribed on a wall, which presumably could be a light bulb, you'd need a power source. And in that same time frame, we have, which is well known, the Baghdad Battery. And I was on camera able to generate at least 4 positive volts from just one battery. So a lot of these technologies that are displayed, without full understanding or without written text saying we plugged it into the socket and it turned on, there's a lot of these reliefs that are, you know, open to interpretation.
George, the Abydos reliefs are just one small example of in my own lecture I show over 10 or 12 different rocket ship or ancient rocket ship type pictures.
Sure.
And so it's very, very common to see that motif. There's a tomb of Hoi in Egypt where there is a above ground and underground depiction of a rocket ship in its basically in its silo, and it shows wear and tear, and the bottom shows people doing maintenance and conducting cleaning with the hoses and stuff, and that's a very accurate, if that's the future, that's a very accurate
writer. I would love to know who the predictor was. Now,
yeah, exactly.
For those who want to see this image, by the way, the NighthawkZone.com folks have up there at their Nighthawk Zone banner, on the left-hand side, you will see the tablet from Abydos there. You'll see the plane on the left-hand side, something else that either looks like a whale, I think more of a submarine, and then underneath it, an obvious UFO-type craft. And then underneath that appears to be another plane, maybe a helicopter. It's an incredible, incredible piece of work. It's mind-boggling. Jason, let's go to the coasttocoastam.com website. You have given us some images that I want you to go through again. You mentioned a few of them already, but now that we're seeing the pictures, let's pick it up with, first of all, what some thought might have been a bird in Egypt. That sure looks like a plane to me.
It does, and we commented on that earlier. And, you know, in the series of a couple other images that are on there, you know, you can see the similarity of what we were talking about earlier with the pre-Columbian versions, and then we have these Egyptian versions of what archaeologists at the time either labeled as a bird model or an insect, clearly to us could be interpreted as a flying craft. You know, another area of our archaeological significance is, you know, the tomb of Pakal, which has been reported as
Lord Pakal, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
I have a picture of that on my website.
And him being, you know, seated, what it clearly looks like an astronaut seated in a space capsule,
yeah,
you know, blasting off. They say he's descending into the underworld, or, you know, there's a lot of interpretation of what modern archaeologists would leave out any piece of evidence pointing towards the extraterrestrial hypothesis.
Yeah, he's obviously sitting in some kind of machine. It could be a time machine. Who knows?
But you know what, George? There's more details in that depiction than most people discuss. You'll notice that his nose is hooked up to a breathing apparatus. And if he's dead, why does he need to be breathing? His head is being supported really properly if you were going to take off on your back. His hands are working levers or something. And I've even seen von Daniken show in a presentation exhaust and rocket fumes coming from the bottom of that little that guy's little chamber that he's in.
What if they just put him to sleep while he travels in space?
Hibernation?
Yes.
It's a great theory. But they were depicting Pakal, how he lived. In other words, it's interesting. If ancients are going to go through all the work, and this, by the way, this coffin lid is over 6 feet long. It's a lot of work. And they went through so much effort to make specific detail and depict it as close to accuracy as they could. Why would then somebody say, well, it's just made up? Maybe they just observed what they observed. It's not for us to change the thinking or the intent of the artist or the art workers. We simply have to see what they left and say, is this possible in our realm of understanding? And actually it is.